Well, and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Rob, Zach, and Matt.
Hello.
Hello.
And today we're playing Fortnite, and we're talking Fallout Season 2, Episode 2.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
How was everybody's holiday?
Great.
Magical.
Very good.
Incredible.
Yeah. And, but before we get into the episode review, first we have Rob's Movie Corner, because Rob is here. I have a pretty poor showing this week, so I guess I can go first.
Okay, please.
Because of the holidays, we've had very little time to watch movies. Matt's kids were here. They watched A Christmas Story, but we didn't join them.
Yep.
But the other night, we watched the first third of Office Space with my parents, because
with the parents, wow,
yeah, because my guru, my wife, wanted to show it to them, see what they think. Dad was asleep by the time Ron Livingston got to work.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
But that's nothing personal. I don't know. I thought it was all right.
I didn't think that movie holds up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why doesn't it hold up? Like, I saw it kind of recently. I was just like, oh, this is still funny. I mean, like, The Office still sucks. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, I can understand what they're going for, but it's maybe more like depressing than funny.
I saw a tweet that said the idea that you can go to a job that, like, pays you, you know, a living wage and, you know, it has reasonable hours, and that's a bad thing. It's very... They didn't use the word privilege, but that's like what they were getting at, right? Like,
it's very 1990s.
It's very, like that's first world problem kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was all the rage back then. Like American Beauty, The Matrix, Fight Club,
mm-hmm. Falling down,
sure.
Even though he loses his job, technically. But yeah, it's kind of like you're watching, you're like, well, why doesn't Ron Livingston just get his shit together? Like, if he doesn't like his job.
Go get a new job. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Or, like, go back to school. Like what, he goes to the office, but then he goes home and just sits around and drinks beer. So, I don't know. Who am I to judge? Anyway, so that's all the movies that I have seen in the last 2 weeks.
Nice. I saw quite a few movies because it's the holidays, so it's like both big blockbusters and like Oscar bait. It's the best season for it, really. So yeah, I saw 3 hours and 17 minutes of Avatar: Fire and Ash.
Oh, really? I guess somebody's got to be watching it.
It's made like 500 million, so like somebody's out there like with me.
Somebody loves these Avatar movies.
Somebody loves Jake Sully and Spider and Neytiri, Colonel Quaritch. I'll keep going. You know,
all these other memorable characters.
The names you recite before you go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. My heroes.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Jake, Sigourney Weaver, Zoe Saldana, the old guy
who plays two characters kind of now because she's. Spoilers,
I heard
in the first one.
I heard that they didn't let her kiss a 15-year-old. What a bunch of prudes.
Wait, what happened?
Thank God. Rob? Yeah, I was wondering that too. Yeah, because she plays now like a Na'vi that's like 15 years old and kind of has the soul sort of her previous character from the first Avatar. So like, and there's a little romance scene with a little human kid that's about 15. Yeah, and you know,
what
I think
an anime?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is weird, and God knows what they're doing in the mocap behind the scenes. But yeah, I guess that I didn't hear they didn't actually kiss, but I kind of assumed that's the fact.
I heard they brought in a 15-year-old ringer because they wouldn't let Sigourney Weaver actually kiss the 15-year-old.
Wait, did Sigourney Weaver like kiss a 60-year-old then? Like, who did she kiss?
She didn't kiss anybody.
Oh, they just like mocap.
Like it was, yeah. It was the real actor for the kid, I guess, but not for her.
Okay.
Never.
You could do anything with computers.
I think it was with computers.
That kid is like mad ripped, so I don't think that's his first rodeo with smooching. I'm gonna throw it out there. But And now he's like 30 years old. I don't know, because that was filmed like at least 5 years ago. So he's been in like a Scream movie and maybe a few others since. But anyway, the movie is Jack something. It's a cool name.
Black?
Jack Black, yeah.
Jack Dawson?
Jack. Now it's just like Jake from Avatar. No, not Jake Sully.
You know what old Jack Dawson says at a time like this? The check is in the mail.
What?
Is that his most famous line? Jack Champion. It is a cool last name. Okay.
Oh, that is a cool last name.
I named you Jack a hero's name.
Yeah. Some people have some qualms with his performance because he has to hit some like emotional heights that he didn't have to in the second one. I don't know if anybody's seen Avatar Way of Water, but it is easily the best one.
Really? Better than the first one?
Yeah, I don't really care for the first one. Yeah,
but I care for the first one's the only one I saw.
It's kind of bland and flat, and like if you watch it now, it looks kind of ugly, honestly.
Did it make you want to live on Pandora, though?
Of course, of course. I mean, like, better than this place. This economy. But, like, no.
Trump's America?
Yeah, Trump's America? Future President J.D. Vance? No. I prefer Pandora, for sure. I would rather be flying the dragon things and the whale things and the... I guess there's jellyfish airships, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff happening there. So I recommend.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
At least
but
water. Fire and ash is okay.
I don't foresee it happening, but thanks anyway.
I tried to make the pitch. It's not in my top 10. Might not even be in my top 20, but it's fire and ash is fun.
Zach, shall we depart?
Yes, let's go.
Okay. And then like.
We saw that.
Yeah, I'll just do three movies. Loved it. I loved it. Every second of it. I saw it in 2D though, which is probably suboptimal. Anyway,
you call yourself a movie guy.
I know. I didn't put the 3D glasses on like a true movie buff does. second movie I want to mention is I saw on Christmas Day with my mom, who was excited to see it until she saw it. We saw Anaconda together, starring Jack Black. Yeah,
I heard. Yeah, I mean that's just what I heard. I'm sure your mom would know better than me, but
we were in slight disagreement, although we didn't really like talk about it because I don't know. It's like who's gonna argue on Christmas here? But like I liked it more than she did. It's like fun, I would say. And like,
but mom, you see, it's satirical. It's a commentary on Hollywood.
Yeah. It's really piercing, you know, insight into like the remake culture that we're all embedded in. I don't know if she really appreciated that. And she's in her mid-70s. She's up there. it's fun. And like, it's apparently, I didn't even know going in, but apparently it's by the director of like Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, the Nick Cage movie where he plays himself.
So
which is not like a great movie in my opinion, but like at least it's like a real movie, so they got kind of like a real comedy director, and Jack Black and Paul Rudd are doing their best, and Steve Zahn's being very Steve Zahn. Thandaway Newton, I think is how you pronounce her name, like Dandy Newton, formerly known as Dandy Newton, she changed names. I don't know if she's quite in the comedy stuff as much, but I don't think she's done like any comedies. I can't think of any.
So can I just say something about the game very quickly? I have no idea how many players are left.
There's four.
Really?
Top right corner. There's the little people. Yeah.
Oh, there's one on the right.
So I would just say that it's a pretty solid movie. I actually prefer to Jumanji.
Dude, so, the storm's moving.
Whatever it's worth.
All right, well, we got to head towards them.
All right, let's go.
You prefer it to Jumanji?
I like the Jumanji movies at the time.
I don't know. It's just like the jokes don't really are very blockbustery. I don't know, for like just
are we attacking?
Yeah.
Okay. And so for the third movie, I would just recommend probably the second or third best movie I've seen this year. I just saw it. So I would recommend Marty Supreme, starring America's favorite little man child.
Booyah!
What's up, dude?
Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, okay. You saw that one too?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. I honestly think you guys would like it too. It's pretty fast paced and like.
You know, what's it about? He's a boxer.
No, he's a player. It's funny you thought boxer. Could he even play boxer? I don't know.
Maybe a featherweight.
But like a real featherweight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe back then, like, because it's set in the 50s. It's based very vaguely on, like, another guy named Marty. It's like he's called Marty Mauser in this movie, but there's a real ping pong player named Marty something. I forget his last
name.
Something
it's something Jewish. It's like Hurwitz or something.
Yes, yes. You said not I. And then like, yeah. It's, so, but like that's why, because like if you watch the movie, there's like a lot of crazy shit that happens, and yeah, it's there's no way it's like based on a true story, honestly, but it's like it moves extremely fast. I don't know if you've seen like Uncut Gems or Good Time. It's by like the good Safdie brother. Apparently, they recently did like a Coen Brothers type split, and one did Smashing Machine with The Rock, and the other one did this movie with Timmy. And it's just way better. And it's probably gonna get nominated for Best Picture, maybe Best Director.
What's the conflict?
The conflict
like
is like his
wife.
Yeah, I mean, like honestly, it's like ping pong is like part of it, but like also he's just like scrounging for money, and he's kind of like hyper confident. But like, luckily Timothée Chalamet is playing it, so like this character could be annoying in other hands, and probably he still is kind of annoying. But like, he's just extremely confident, and he's like trying to like hustle the whole time to get money because there's a tournament in Japan. So he's basically like just getting into like one fuck up after another.
Yeah,
and
I win like that. Ready up, Rob. Movies where characters have money problems stress me out because I'm like, just get a job.
I mean, that's kind of like this is Uncut Gems again, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of shades of Uncut Gems and even Good Time, and like they like a stressful, fast paced, kinetic movie. So I mean, if you don't like Uncut Gems, probably won't like this as much. But like Uncut Gems is, I guess, I would say way more stressful. I've heard like theories because it's like set in modern day, so you kind of like you associate it with your own possible financial issues or whatever. But like this one's like set in the 50s, so it's just kind of like, and it's kind of based on true story of some guy that's like, you know, is vaguely successful. So you're like, okay, I can. It's a little more palatable, I would say, with this one.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Ron? Any other movies?
No, those are the main three, I would say, the fun ones.
And you've heard of Willard the Rat movie?
I saw the Crispin Glover one in theaters. I don't think I've ever seen the original or the sequel. Ben, was it called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. The sequel.
We were talking about it over the break. Apparently, Willard was our dad's favorite movie when he was a kid, but not really.
It's just like the one movie he knows and talks about all the time.
That says a lot about
it. Kind of like Before the Devil Knows Your Dad.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's like the one book he's read is Clan of the Cave Bear.
One is that okay?
It's like a movie about like prehistoric tribe.
Yeah, but I remember Dad said, "You know what book you kids should read? Clan of the Cave Bear." And Mom said, "Oh my God, David, it's full of sex." So,
honestly, how old does he think you guys are? How old does your mom think you guys are?
At the time we were kids. At the time, I was told.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was a while ago, obviously. All right, so shall we get into Fallout?
Let's do it.
Do we get Matt's movies?
I didn't see any movies. I don't watch movies. No, I do, but I'm not. I don't have any movies. My daughter watched Fiddler on the Roof, the original on the train, but I didn't watch it. I had already seen it.
Did she say anything about it?
She said she liked it, but she said my version was better.
Yeah.
So take that, Oscar winners. You bombs.
Hollywood screenwriters.
And also, I'm almost done with Pluribus. And I think I agree that it's a boring show.
Seems like people like it.
People do like it, and I liked it too until I kind of thought about it. It's kind of like, I never watched Lost, but it seems like a similar idea where it's like, ooh, what an intriguing premise. I'm going to watch it to see how it all plays out. And then it just gets drawn, you know, it gets drawn really far.
Does it play out very slowly?
Very, very slowly. Yeah.
I heard like episode 7 was like a little controversial. I don't know if it's just really dull or what.
That's too bad.
Can I give stuff away?
Sure.
Well, just she's very motivated to solve the problem, and then she arbitrarily stops being motivated to stop the problem, and then as a result, the plot kind of stops. Right?
I expected it better.
If Indiana Jones was like, okay, Nazis, you can keep the Lost Ark. I don't care.
Where does the story go from here?
And that might be okay for like a 5-minute montage in a movie before Marion comes over and says, no, Indy, we gotta stop him. But in it for an hour-long TV show episode. Anyway, yes. So Fallout.
I was just gonna say I expected better from Vince Gilligan. Okay, so Fallout. Yeah, I like this episode. I'm excited to talk about it. So it starts with little Maximus at Shady Sands.
And, yes, and his life is in the New California Republic, and his life is so great.
Yeah, and they had some pretty blatant fan service with the NCR troopers, the iconic NCIR Ranger outfit.
If you say so.
I believe you. Yeah.
Rob?
I'm not like that knee deep in Fallout lore that I remember.
Okay, well, basically, the New California Republic Rangers are the guys in the armor. You see them very, very briefly. Oh, shoot. These guys are good. They're killing me. Watch out, boys.
Get the cover.
So anyway,
He served his function perfectly as a meat shield.
So these guys, the Rangers they're on the cover of Fallout New Vegas board game box, and the fans love to dress up as them. You see them at conventions. They love to make fan movies about them. So very, very, you know, prominent.
Big part of the fandom.
Image, yeah. I bet they're probably the second most common costume besides the Vault Dweller itself. And you see them very briefly, but I also like the regular NCR troopers. You see them a lot. So yeah, so like Matt said, life in the NCR is great.
So happy. There's no racism. Yep. That I would expect there to be. But
and they're they're building stuff together. And then we get the patrol guy, and this is more fan service. So the line that he keeps repeating over and over again, which is,
something patrolling the Mojave makes down. You feel a nuclear war or something like that, right?
Yeah, patrolling the Mojave almost makes you wish for a nuclear winter.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So that's what the NCR troopers say when you meet them in the game. It's like their default line. So, which became a meme, and blah blah blah.
That was like a knee to the.
That's pretty fancy.
An arrow to the knee.
But I'll approve. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, him saying it once would be one thing, but saying it over and over and over again, I was like, come on. Anyway,
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, so Maximus's dad fails his mechanics check, and then they nuke the fridge.
Bomb disarming.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah, so they nuke the fridge like in Indiana Jones, being of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, exactly like Indiana Jones. Dang. You know, pretty crazy.
Are we accepting that the nuking the fridge is a good thing and like the best scene in that movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not saying very much, but yeah.
Yeah. I just, I think justice for that movie. It's not a great movie. It's not a good movie, really, but like that opening scene, at least, is pretty fun.
The opening scene is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Old Indiana Jones is better off like standing around doing cool stuff rather than actually trying to function, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, okay, I was hoping Jay would be here so he could answer this question, but Matt and I watched the show together.
Let's go.
And we couldn't remember, do they ever explain why Lucy's dad blew up Shady Sands?
Dude, I can't. Yeah, like I was telling Zach this at the time. I can't remember any of the lore, or like the story. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remembered like bits and pieces of it, and the recap didn't help that much.
Who's motivated to do what? I have no idea.
I did write that down. I was like, why is like Lucy and the ghoul like teamed up in the first place? Like, why? Like, I just don't get. Like,
that's pretty. I mean, that's pretty bad, Rob. It's because they both want her dad because he's so sexy.
But like, okay, they need to team up for that purpose. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, yeah. That was kind of quickly rushed at the end of the season one where they were like. Lucy's like, I gotta go get my dad. He's hurting people. And then the ghoul says, I'm gonna go get your dad because he killed my family. Lucy's like, okay.
Well, because he might know where his family is, technically.
Yeah. Whatever. Same idea. But yeah. It's an odd couple pairing that I appreciate and I think is a good part of the season.
Yeah, they explained that. I just wish we get the recaps are kind of long, and I really wish they had explained why he did it. I vaguely remember he said that it was to protect the secret of the vault, like to protect the vaults. Or maybe that was just his bullshit excuse.
It was all for the vaults.
Yeah. Well, I mean, probably more likely he did it to keep Vault Tech secrets, whatever those are.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just haven't explained it.
I mean, it's actually.
I feel like they did explain it.
Yeah, I feel like they did explain it, but like, yeah, now.
Yeah, we're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Feel free to get in the car, Rob.
Where is that?
Jump on it.
Oh, are you in this one? No. Oh, this one. Goddamn.
Okay, so we have that. Next, we have Maximus fighting some feral ghouls, which looks right out of exit level, entry level.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Last level, whatever that show is.
Secret level?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yes. Yeah. And the main point of that scene is that he is sad. He is so very sad. Even though he's doing what he... Is it because he's not getting any punani from Lucy? I guess?
That's probably enemy part ahead. Of that.
Enemy Are ahead.
We fighting?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It's just one person.
Yeah. I mean, that might be part of it, dude, but also he doesn't believe in the Brotherhood's mission anymore. He's disaffected.
Yep.
And did that happen, like, I guess that already happened, right? Like, in season one? Like, it wouldn't happen between seasons, is what I'm saying.
Well, the end of season one happened really fast. I think it was, like, the Brotherhood gave him credit for killing Muldeaver and then made him a hero, and then that old guy... was like, why don't we team up and do a civil war of the Brotherhood? Why don't we do that?
It was something to the effect. It's some kind of like scummy political thing where he's like, I got the head. This is what the Brotherhood wants. And the guy's like, yes, let's keep it and, you know, I don't know, do what's best for us instead of what's best for the Brotherhood. You agree, right, Maximus?
He's like, what?
What? I'm not, what?
I just wanted to be a knight, you know.
I don't get it.
I didn't really think that far ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows? We're along for the ride at this point.
Fair enough, as Jay would say.
That guy behind us.
I mean, it's kind of that Westworld thing of like we don't really know the character's motives 100%. So maybe he's got some plan, but
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, Maximus isn't really a deep thinker, I don't think. No offense to him.
No, he's not. He's not. They pretty well established that in season one.
Okay, so then, but he goes to a sweet airship.
Yeah.
And it is very sweet.
Is that in the games?
Is it in the games? I don't recall.
Okay.
I do not recall. So, maybe. You know what? It's probably in 4, which I have not played.
It's pretty crazy to me that people are like barely functioning in this world, and then the Brotherhood can make these sweet airships that are totally impractical. It broke a little bit of the immersion. That part.
Yeah. Well, they're also sort of supposed to be a secret society.
They're not like a faction that has territory.
No, they hide underground and only come out to get the technology, and then they scuttle back inside. So that was a little bit strange.
Not in this world.
Nope.
No way, man.
Yeah. Well,
it is strange that characters later like excited about an ice cooler. It's like if you have a giant ass airship, I'm like it's not an ice cooler in the airship.
I agree. That was a little bit strange.
I agree.
Oh,
We're gonna avoid that. Does anyone
remember when the show takes place in the Fallout timeline? Did anyone bother to look it up? Does anyone care?
I think it's at the end. I looked it up because I was like, what the hell's going on? And also there's all these controversies of like, you know, the events of New Vegas video game not affecting the show as much. But I think this takes place at the like most like furthest in. It's like, you know, the rise furthest of Skywalker along. Furthest along. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I just wanted to have my opinion validated.
I did hear the guy say that the show is canon.
Yes. I think that's the source of the controversy, because people are like, well, that conflicts now with this and this and that.
Enemy, let's go.
Let's kill him. So, anyways. Yeah. So speaking of the fridge, so the guys find an alien in Area 51. Matt had the observation, they have a mighty arsenal of fans, which is kind of funny. And some blow stuff off.
Wait, what did I mean by that? Well, the literally fans, like moving blades.
Not fanboys, but fans.
Okay. So we must go. Funny. We have the low ground.
Right, let's get back to the car.
First, I must destroy this truck. Okay.
So I'm going to do another J-splanation if you guys are interested.
Please do.
So they open the vault and it has an alien inside, like the, you know, stereotype of the big head thing. So that's a reference to a DLC from Fallout 3, where you get abducted by aliens and you're on a flying saucer. And the impression I get is a lot of fans don't like it because it's extremely different from, you know, the way Fallout normally is, where there are no aliens.
Yeah, where it's not, the whole not having aliens is pretty consistent part of the game. So that was kind of a nice thing. That was kind of funny when they were like, oh, an alien, and they just kick it out.
Yeah.
They just throw it to the ground and it like dissolves. That was kind of funny.
It is a funny gag. It's true.
Yeah.
Wow,
a real alien.
Oh, Area 51 seems like it would be a level in that game, but I guess they don't. The video game doesn't set like Nevada at all, is it? No.
No. I mean, New Vegas is kind of the Nevada area. Okay, so then we're back to Lucy and the ghoul, and oh my god, I am really getting sick of these conversations where Lucy's like, why don't you just try to be nice to people? And the ghoul's like, no, I don't want to be nice to people.
The ghoul's like, if you're nice to people, you die out here. And she's like, no, you don't. Even though it's happened to her like six times.
Yeah, it's like keeps being proven wrong. Yeah.
Stay on.
Don't jump out, don't jump. Yeah, so it's like Lucy needs to take the hint already. It's getting all over.
And like also like that was Lucy's arc last season, right? Like damn.
Well, also we didn't talk about this last week, but I also wanted to mention that a lot of shows use "it's all over but the crying." You guys notice this?
You said that. I don't know.
But also, they they have the whole thing where the ghoul's like, you shoot people in the ass and then you call yourself not a murderer. So then I have to kill them. And I think the ghoul is as usual right, because if you disable somebody and then your friend kills them, it's really not that different from you killing them.
Yeah.
Oh shoot, sniper.
Yeah,
it's like, Batman Begins, like, well, I don't have to save you kind of thing. Yeah.
I did. Okay.
There he is.
So the reason why they have the argument is because there's a call for help, and it's obviously a trap. But Lucy's like, but what if it's not a trap?
I'm gonna bunker. Yep.
Lucy's like, what if they're actually being nice? Which I cannot believe.
Yeah. Nice. Sound victory.
Oh my god. Well played.
Can your heart take it, Rob?
Yes. I don't.
I was like, restart my heart.
Please, I don't want to get to this far. I prefer dying.
We're playing again?
Yeah, one more. Uno más.
Okay. So they say. So the ghoul says she's a tunic, which I didn't realize what it meant, but I think it means the Legion, Caesar's Legion.
Yeah, and the ghoul says they're really bad people. They're gonna like kill you. And Lucy says, I'm gonna choose not to believe that for no reason.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm gonna take the side of this woman because she's white and a female.
Yeah, the whole Lucy stuff is, I don't know, it's not really working, but it keeps the story moving.
Yeah, it keeps it exciting. If they could just walk by, there would have been no story for this episode.
Okay, so then they fight the rad scorpions, and Matt, you had an observation about the ghoul here.
Yeah, I said to Zach right before the fight, I said, I don't know why the ghoul is being so reticent to help to, you know, investigate. Nothing on this world can kill him. He's, like, invincible. Like, you know, we've seen him take, like, 50 bullets and not even, and just shrug it off. But I guess the rad scorpions could kill him. So, I guess.
Well, that big one, yeah.
The
big
or at least one, yeah. Paralyze him, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So,
he's a little OP.
Withdrawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like Rob, I think I already ranted about this to you, but he's like Batman and the Batman, right? Where he can just walk down a hallway, a guy can fire a machine gun into his chest, and he just looks at him. Stupid.
That's a cool one.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least there was some action.
So, well, speaking of things that are stupid, so once the ghoul saves her life yet again, Lucy has a Sophie's choice between saving him or saving this random woman she's never met before. And she chooses the random woman she's never met before.
Because she's
like, what?
Species of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, she'll support women over ghoul. Women help each other.
Well, I mean, it was funny. She was like pretty cruel. She was just like, yeah, she's like, the golden rule is only for like humans. And he's like, you're just too much of an asshole to even be a human.
it's crazy, like, not even just from a purely practical point of view, like, he can help her accomplish her mission,
right?
And he has, fact, he has,
he's
been
literally on her side, and this woman
he's literally
is
her ally
side. Yeah,
oh my god. Yep. It was crazy.
Bad writing.
Would you team up with him if you had to, though? Like,
I'd
be nervous.
I
like,
he's like he's like unstoppable.
But like, the moment like it's inconvenience, you're inconvenient to him, he's gonna kill you.
Why? No. Well, then don't inconvenience him.
Right.
Well, I inconvenience a lot of people, so I don't know. It's just it would
it's like
happen.
It's like beta your way into getting him to help you.
Yeah.
Oh yes, sir, Mr. Ghoul, you're so smart. Way more got it together than me. Let's go find my dad together.
You just have to flatter him. Sound familiar?
I beat the cock. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, yeah. So, yeah, they fight the red scorpions. It was a good fight.
Okay, so then we have Norm. He thaws everybody out, tells them that Bud is dead, and he's the new manager. And I guess it's supposed to be a joke that they're all useless, that none of them know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Consistent with the dark comedy aspect of this show.
So, that was good. I like how they didn't spend too much time on this plot line. On the other hand, they spend way too long with Hank McClane blowing up mice.
Yes, and it really bothered me that he drove back and forth every time instead of just getting a bunch of mice, putting them in, like, a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Would have made a lot more sense, but then you wouldn't have the funny montage to funny music.
I feel like they're not even presenting the scientific method accurately in this episode. Like, I feel like he puts the thing on the mouse, cranks it up to 11, and watches their heads explode.
And he's like, right. Why doesn't it work?
Yeah, like, there's no sense of, like, maybe, like, I'll turn it up, but not as much as last time. Aw, dang, I still didn't do it.
Mm.
Right?
Well, it's
just like, yeah.
Well, I was wondering if you're making adjustments off screen, but, like, yeah, we're not, why don't you just show that if that's the case? So, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, like, give us some hard numbers. Like, he turned it up to 20, then he's going to turn it to 18. And also, like, right, and also, what goal is he trying to achieve? Is it mind control? Like, what is he trying to get the mouse to do? So
he's
also
trying to get
why,
the...
when it blows up, why is it brown? I don't know. It's like, I think it's funnier to have not like deep red gore, but I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I appreciate that they didn't show the actual
exploding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe he just likes killing mice because he's evil, you know, like a bad guy.
He's so evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another weird thing about this scene is, does he clean the cage every time?
Right. That, yes, I guess so.
They're blasting off again.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Because, every time it's completely clean.
This is strange.
Rob is nowhere near us. Rob.
I teleported at one point. Yeah.
Okay. That's all right.
Let's try to get the sword, dude.
Okay,
so. Okay, so yeah, we talked about the alien. They find the cold fusion. Max is a believer in duty. He does his duty for queen and country.
Yep.
And then they have the meeting to avoid to try to get people on their side. We meet the leaders and
elders.
The elders. And Rob, you know stuff. Who was that guy who was the leader of Grand Canyon or whatever?
Was that somebody?
He had a very familiar looking face, yeah.
He had a very distinctive looking face. Yeah.
Mm.
His name is Bradley Thompson. He was Punk in Terminator 2.
No.
If that means anything.
It doesn't. I don't. There's the Punk in Terminator 1, but that's Bill Paxton. Yes. I don't know.
It might be Terminator 1. I don't know.
You guys want to help me fight these people?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and they all, and I, guys, again, they should have had this in the recap. What is the Commonwealth? This is like the major villain of Max's plot. I don't know who they are.
So I get the impression they're like the main Brotherhood of Steel headquarters.
That was
okay, but the Brotherhood's supposed to be divided, right?
Well, they're scattered across the land, but in theory, the Commonwealth like runs the show. That's my interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah. I think as they like split up geographically, they started fighting each other a bit.
Yeah. So the leaders are funny. They're like, well, I don't really care about you, so why should I help you?
Yeah. And the one's like, in my society, we can have sex with robots. And the other one's like, my society, women don't talk.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I also thought they had a pretty good explanation for why they should unite, because they can unite behind the cold fusion. Mm-hmm. So that works. What do you think about the Knights playing with the grenade during the meeting?
It was stupid.
I thought it was kind of stupid.
Very like Chekhov's grenade. It's a DeLorean. I was just like waiting for it to happen, something to happen with that. But I guess it didn't happen. So
I thought it was like some kind of ham-fisted assassination attempt. You know, but it was not.
Ooh.
So let's get out of here, dude.
I'm trying, dude. It's got ice.
Okay, they also talk about how the codex is open to interpretation, which feels like some kind of commentary on organized religion.
Real-time religion? Oh, God.
Or actually, maybe it's more about the Constitution. The Constitution's open to interpretation.
No, I think you're right that it's about, like, the Bible. Let's fight.
True.
Okay. God, oh, shoot. Uh-oh.
Good try, buddy.
Okay. All right, switch to Dominion.
Yeah. Man, I never got to use the DeLorean.
What kind of vehicle was it?
It's the two-seater.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then he moves on from the mice to he gets like a premium guy. After explaining that the guy was selfish and only saved himself and not his kids, he just kind of kills him for no reason.
No, he's testing the thing on him.
Well, but like you said, he just turned the dial up and then watched his head slowly blow up.
That's considered the test, right? And it's dumb. Like, he sees the guy freak out, and he doesn't turn it back down. You know,
Was also a punishment because he didn't take his family with him. I couldn't even tell. Like,
I think it's supposed to show to the audience that it's okay that this random dude is dying.
Yeah,
or at least it's a little bit better.
Because the science experiment seems inept, but maybe that's kind of the joke. Maybe like he's supposed to be an idiot with this stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a manager. He's not a scientist or an engineer.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of dumb characters in this, but like a lot of it's intentional, so it's hard to
know.
It is funny that 2/3 of the main characters are kind of idiots, but they have good
It moves the plot forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, game's up.
All right, hang on. I was applying Back to the Future decal for my thing.
Nice.
Crucial. All
right, so... Okay, so Lucy meets the Legion. I don't know if I want to get into the... I don't think I want to do a J-explanation of what the Legion is. I think we'll just wait, have it be explained later.
Yeah, let's have it find it. Let's find out it out organically. Sounds good.
We'll discuss it I guess in 2 weeks when I'm back. Norm escapes, we talked about that. So then we get the Max fight scene where he fights this huge guy. Huge guy, a serial crusher.
And again, it's like, can we spend a little bit more time explaining why exactly they're fighting? You know, I know he's like, you're the guy who took down someone, right?
Moldaver.
And Maximus says, yes. And then he says, let's fight. I wish he said, like, I don't know, maybe, Rob, you can accuse me of being part of the dumbing down of Hollywood, but I wish he said something like, if I kick the ass of the man who killed Moldaver, that'll make me the biggest badass in the, you know, Brotherhood. Let's fight.
I feel like that was pretty much implied, dude.
Is that what it was? So. I actually I didn't
know. See?
Oh, come on, Rob.
Because I felt like Moldaver was like some, like, I don't remember who Moldaver was, so I was like, oh, is that like someone that like he has connection with? And it's like, I'm going to get revenge.
Oh, yeah, Moldaver was my mom.
Yeah.
I know. Come on, guys.
I remembered who Moldaver was. Damn.
Yeah, it was in the recap.
I don't know her connection with this guy. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. They need to spell it out for the audience, like Rob.
Exactly.
Please. I am kicking your ass, and this is why.
And this is why everyone's like cool with it, basically, too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't. That's the other thing, is I didn't understand that either, right? Like, especially when he pulls the knife out, right? It's like, okay, I can understand fighting to show who's like the bigger badass, but then, okay, you're gonna kill a guy who's a Brotherhood hero for no reason.
Highly ranked, probably. Yeah, it's like, yeah, weird.
Exactly.
So I have a great
you're on the J roll. Yeah, take on the J roll this episode.
I have a J explanation, but first I need to bio, so I'm gonna be right back.
What? In the middle of the podcast?
Yeah, deal with that.
I can't believe it. Now we have all this dead air that we have to fill.
Awkward.
Oh,
pauses.
My God. All right. So how about them Rangers? How about them Ranger Druids? Yeah, we played some good board games over the break as well. We played First Class Letters, which is a word game.
Okay.
We played Herd Mentality. Has Zach ever made you play that?
No. Herd Mentality?
Yeah, that's a fun party game. Very chill. It basically says it'll ask questions like the questions of the day, like opinion questions. But rather than answering honestly, you're supposed to answer with the majority.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and if you're in the majority, you get a point, and if you don't, you don't get a point.
That's pretty clever. I mean, it's kind of like there's like a Jackbox game like that, kind of. Like, at least that's like checking like the polls of how people answer.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Like
guessing. Yeah. Do you wish your kids were old enough that they could play Dominion? Do you like playing Dominion with like the actual cards? Or you're just like, now it's too.
It's tough to go back. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough going back. They are not old enough. Do I wish they were old enough? No. It's something I've learned. Is that you never wish your kids to be older because then they can never come back, never go back. But
the lesson of a click starring Adam Sandler. All right.
Yeah.
You don't hit the fast forward button. Yeah.
But no, I would never hit the fast forward button. No way.
Yeah, because they all come with downsides. Everybody.
If there's no rewind. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so here's getting back to Maximus. It's a great scene. Because it shows the whole message of the show, which is that and Maximus realizes that this guy, first of all, this guy has a total advantage over him. So it's not a fair fight. And then the guy cheats to make it even worse. And everyone there is cool with it. And then Maximus realizes, oh, my gosh, the Brotherhood talks about duty and honor and like saving humanity. But really, it's just about power. It's just who is the strongest one who can beat up the little guy the best. And the Brotherhood isn't any different from any of these other factions that fight over the wasteland. They all suck.
Doesn't he literally say that at one point?
Right.
That, like, the Brotherhood's just one of many others, but at least, like, you know, at least they keep us safe or whatever.
Yeah, he talks about it as well. But so in this case, I guess they show that he's really having a falling out with them. He's really to grind it in.
A fallout, you might say?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a big. I don't know. I didn't get that whole reading. I don't know. I thought it was. I mean, he was like he started fighting dirty himself, which I guess maybe that's the character thing too, because he like hits him in the crotch, and that's like causes him to start winning again.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like Lucy. That's Lucy's thing, that except when she forgets, which is that she has to play dirty to survive in the wasteland too.
That's what she learned in season one, but she seems to have forgotten it since last season.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a slow story arc where, like, by season four, she's like basically Walter White from Breaking Bad. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Not at the rate she's going, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. I mean, even in the flashback, she was like, I may look like you, but I'll never be you. Remember that line?
Yeah.
She's, yeah, but then her vault outfit's all messed up, but now it's squeaky clean again. So.
Yeah.
Reset button.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep this. Let's move it on. Close game.
Woo.
So Kumail Nanjiani shows up. He's the emissary from the Commonwealth. And then they play Twist again. Yay, great song. That's the end of the episode.
I was pretty disappointed by this ending, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, because I don't really know anything about this character. And like, if he wasn't played by a famous person, I'd be like, this is the strangest ending to an episode. But he is played by someone we know, so it's like, okay, sure.
It's an anticlimactic, I guess, end of the episode, right? He's just like, the Commonwealth wants to talk to you.
Well, no, he's like, we're going to have a war.
Yeah.
Who invited
exactly me? But that's what I mean. It's like, if you guys do this, it'll cause a civil war. You guys did it, and now it's a civil war. Right?
Wah-wah.
Like, the thing we predicted happened was going to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Or he'll team up with them. I don't know. I was like a little... It was ambiguous to me.
That's why it's good. I actually like the ending because, you know, like, the Brotherhood's going to have a war. Lucy's running into trouble with the Legion. The Ghoul is injured. You know, Norm is God knows where.
Norm's out in the world, yeah.
Yeah, Hank's making moves. It's like, wow, what a really good setup for future events.
This character is from the games, sort of.
Which character? Kumail?
Kumail and Nanjiani's Xander Harkness. Because I was like, that's quite the name. I thought it was just like a really important character. So I looked it up, and he's apparently in the Fallout Shelter cell phone game.
Where's Jay? We need him. Jay loves that game.
Yeah. Very, very clutch character, apparently. I don't think he's even in the beginning of the game. He like shows up later. But yeah. Very, very random.
It's probably from 4, the game I haven't played. So
he said the cell phone game.
It's just the cell phone game. Like, it's not even like
Fallout
3 or 4. Yeah, it's weird.
Nice. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it was another perfectly functional, perfectly good episode of Fallout. Kept me interested. Had some action. Was there flashback scenes?
Not so much.
No. Okay. None spring to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So time for questions of the day?
Yes, let's go.
All right. Question number one comes to us courtesy of Zach.
Yeah.
Continuing his obsession with sex and dating.
Obsession?
Would you date an adult film actor?
Ooh.
And my answer is no, I would not.
Why not, Matt?
It's not because they're like all their bits are out there for the world to see. It's just because those people in that line of work have a very complicated relationship with sex. And like have a struggle with it, and so I don't. It's just not baggage that I want to take on. So right. Nope. There's plenty of other people out there that don't have those hangups, and I'm good.
All right, Rob, how about you?
Yeah, that's I mean, I'm picking like the. I feel bad about this, but like, no beef, but I do feel bad. Like, the opinion of others would affect me, honestly. I think like I would be cool with it, I guess, but like, I was like everyone freaking annoying me, like, oh, so what, was she busy today? Was she at work? Like, I don't know, just like over time, I know that would just annoy the hell out of me, and I couldn't deal with it. So yeah, the opinions of others do would affect me. And like, I was like, even if it's like the love of my life, it would still be annoying as hell. I'll be honest. Hopefully, like, you know, I mean, they make a lot of money.
No, they don't. What makes you say that?
No, if you're like a star, female, star. Well, they're like OnlyFans. Depends, like, if they're OnlyFans, are making like millions, possibly. But like,
good point.
Generally, like the female porn stars make way more than the male porn stars, at least. So like, if they're,
well, that's
I would
true.
Theoretically be dating a, you know, above average porn star. Hopefully, yeah, you know.
You're right. I forgot about credit. The money angle. If she's like loaded,
that would change your mind.
That might change my mind. Yeah, yeah. To be honest.
I just feel like after like a few years of that, and like honestly, their shelf life is a little bit, you know, shorter usually. So like, you know, they could retire, and then like I'm living in a mansion and like have a beautiful wife, and so that's not that bad. So, all right, I changed my mind actually. I kind of want that.
And maybe, you know, maybe if you were into that, you could get in on some of that action. Yeah,
it's true. That could be complicated.
Get discovered. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. What about you, Zach?
Okay, so before I answer, I'm going to defend myself from you throwing shade, Matt.
Okay, go ahead.
So this question came to me because I was listening to a episode of Dateable, the podcast, which is about dating, true. And they talk about, one of the things that they say is they believe everyone is dateable. And this woman came on to say, I challenge you, I think I'm undateable. And they said, really, why are you undateable? It's because she's an adult film star. Not just an adult film actor, but an adult film star. So she says, the problem that I have is that when I try to date, there's two kinds of men. The men who know what I do for a living and are like perverts. Who are like, hey, you wanna wear one of the costumes today? Or whatever. And then the men who don't know, but don't want to introduce her to like their family. You know what I mean?
Once they find out.
Yeah, once they find out.
Okay, so I agree with her in that some people are undateable, like serial killers.
Uh-huh.
Right? So like it's entirely possible that she's undateable, and there are also other people that are undateable. So yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying this. This is not really the point of why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing it up because that's where the idea for the question came from. Okay, I didn't just pull it out of my hair, much as I would like to have taken credit for that.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, I thought it was an interesting problem to have. Anyway, that being said, my answer is no, I would not.
Why
for
that?
The reason that for the reason that Matt said, like, you just there's plenty of fish in the sea. And I don't really want to deal with all the questions.
And what about the money angle? That doesn't change your mind.
No, it doesn't.
It was like making millions.
No, it wasn't.
It was like super hot.
No, I don't need it that badly. If you know what I mean.
I mean, yeah, her friends are also probably all porn stars. I don't know. It's just like it is a different vibe.
Is that a bonus or a problem?
I would say it would be suboptimal. I've like moved to LA. I don't know. It's just like it's not not my scene, I guess. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Question number two. At the time we are recording this, it's the new year, having 2026. So what is your New Year's resolution?
I can't believe we haven't had this one already.
I think we may have in the past, but it's a new year, a new start, same Rob. I would say one of mine is I want to go to services more often with the family.
Okay. Why is that?
I think it's important for the children, and I get a lot of personal satisfaction and mental health stuff from it. You know, it's social. We see families we know. The kids have a good time. It's very much worth doing. So I want to try to go more consistently. That's one.
It's like
and then
the gym,
the,
where it's like hard to actually go to do it. Like,
well, it's a Friday night, enough. Rob. You know, I mean, how easy is it to just stay home on a Friday night, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. And then I had another one too, but it's slipping my mind, so I guess it's not that important. Yeah. So I guess just mainly that one.
Okay. I'm going to go next, and this is one that I've had for a while, but to try to be more attentive. Just in general.
Okay.
Oof, that was a bad game. Oh. You know, with our technology and our phones and stuff, it's hard to be attentive, but I want to try to do a better job of that.
You might say.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I think I'll thank myself for it later. Yeah, 5-2.
Oh, you suck. So many balls.
Anyway, Rob, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about resolutions that much yet, but, like, I would say, I don't know, I think, my midlife crisis has officially started now that I'm 40, so, I mean, I'm just, like, there's, like, some things I still want to do. I still want to, like, make a feature-length movie, so I think, like, my goal now is to, you know, somehow I'll put that together. I, like, went to, like, a film festival just a couple weeks ago, and I met a cinematographer that, like, seemed pretty good, and, like, so I'm like, I don't know, I'm trying to make the steps. It is like one step at a time. It's kind of like building a team, like, you know, a Fellowship of the Ring scenario, essentially.
Totally.
Yeah, but, you know, and like, you know, I'm writing, I just essentially pretty much finished a script that's like, you can shoot in the woods, so, you know, can be made cheaply.
I think they've said that about all great scripts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who could forget when The Godfather was all shot in, like, the Virginia woods? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, just, like, a small little thing, but it should be fun. And obviously I'll refine the script over time and, you know, get a team together. But the goal, I don't know if it's going to be, like, shooting by this year, but, like, hopefully I'll have a lot of the posse together. Yeah.
Would you say you're in pre-production?
I guess I would technically in a weird... I mean... I don't know what officially starts as pre-production. I guess, like, Avatar was in pre-production for, like, 10 years before it came out, so sure, why not?
Wait, do you need an actor that has community theater experience?
Exactly, yes, and, like, specifically, like, starts with the letter M and ends in at, yeah.
That's right. I'll send you my reel.
Okay.
You forget the acting. What about experience directing movies?
But Rob's a director. Well, he doesn't need a director.
I directed shorts. Yeah. I honestly do need, like, to find some producer that, like, probably knows their shit far more than I do and, like, can organize things and whatnot. But
what's your get your budget? Mm-hmm. Oof. This isn't the script about business. This isn't the furries one, is it?
No, because, like, honestly, like, I kind of was thinking about shooting that, but, like, one, I guess it would be, like, a little. The furry community would have a lot of blowback, but also, like, mainly, like, the furry costumes are very expensive, even if I rented them. And I had, like, over a dozen.
Have you looked into it?
Yeah, I did look into it. And, like, just even getting, like, some used one, like, eBay that was probably, you know, covered in God knows what. But, like, you know, I don't care. I'm not wearing it. But, like, no, it's still very expensive. So, no. But, like, this script would do well. Yeah. So, I don't know. I, like, theoretically, if this, you know, makes, like, at least it's money back. Maybe I can, like, get a little funding and get that furry script going. But, you know, one thing at a time.
Would you submit it to the Awesome Con film festival? I guess it would be full length, so I guess you can't do it.
Yeah, that. I think they only do shorts. And those I've watched some of those Awesome Con shorts. They are, like, rather produced. Amy Jo Johnson from Power Rangers is in one of them. I don't know.
She's in it, or she made it. I thought she's, like, making movies.
I think she did direct. I think you're right. Actually, I take it. I forget if she's the lead. She might be. It might be both, though.
Okay.
It was just okay. It was about her getting plastic surgery. It was real, like, first world of first world problems.
Sounds meta. All right, but that sounds good. So your resolution is to make some progress on this on that project.
On that goal, yeah, exactly.
Chase
so,
your dreams, yeah. Rob.
That's what I've been told. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Same thing you tell your kids. Yeah, I am.
I don't tell my kids that.
Okay.
I will once their dreams are, like, more like reasonable. Like, right now, it's like, yeah, I don't know.
When they want to be like
set the Guinness Book of World Records for longest fingernails. I'm like, no. Don't chase that dream.
Aw.
Yeah.
Be an astronaut. You're like, that's probably not happening either.
Yeah. I'm like, no. Find something reasonable. Thank you very much. All right, Zach.
I already told you mine. Be more attentive.
I was more attentive, so take us out.
Wait, I thought that was two.
Oh crap, you're right. I'm not attentive. All right, we'll do a movie one for Rob.
Please, because
he's
you.
Here. This one comes to us courtesy of Zach. Your favorite moment from the Bryan Singer X-Men trilogy.
He didn't direct the third one, but okay. It's by another sexual predator.
It's from Zach. It's from Zach. I'm not taking any blame for that.
Okay, all right.
What else would you call it?
I knew immediately what you meant, so I guess. Well, I take it back. He did direct Days of Future Past, but that's probably not what you're.
No, meaning. Definitely not.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd have to think about it. It's probably from X2 because that's the best one. And
I can jump in while you're thinking about it, since I had time to think of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
This may seem a little bit silly, but I think it's very cool when the ice wall appears. And then it cuts back to show Iceman like holding the wall, and you can see the ice coming out from his hand. I always thought that was neat.
I think I guess it's kind of cliche, and I don't like Wolverine in those movies as much as everybody else does. But I do think the part next to where he's like clawing up the SWAT team is I think the high mark of the series.
Mm.
Of all those movies. So
that's fair.
I wanted to see. I'll go, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I would say, like, a disturbing choice maybe, but like the opening of like X-Men 1 in like is, I assume, Auschwitz or some concentration camp.
Oh yeah.
It's like I remember like coming to the theater just like a minute or two late as a youth, and hey, I'm good.
Well done, Rob.
Thank you. But yeah, like I came in a couple minutes late, and like I just walk in, and there's like this Auschwitz scene, and it's really dark and depressing. I was like, am I in the wrong movie? I was so confused. And I was like, no, this is a movie for adults. And I don't know, I'm just like blown away. So
that part is very cool. That would have been my second choice. Very cool.
Yeah.
When it makes the X.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. True. Forgot about that bit.
Cool. All right, cool. I guess we'll go.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, well, thank you all for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. You can catch us every week at twitch.tv/mcslanty. Group up with us in the new year. I guess we're where we already are.
Yeah.
Right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you. Come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.